The Jews got saved by faith in Jesus Christ. The Gentiles get saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Jew and Gentile makes up the entire population of the world. Therefore, it is an adequate conclusion to come to say salvation is attained by faith in Christ only. Hey, welcome back to Bibleline. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. Today's video is a little special in that we're not going to be necessarily answering one person's question, but many people's question. And I think what we're going to talk about today is going to be helpful and make sure you understand the importance of why it's good to give a biblical answer. I was raised in college to necessarily avoid saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. And I'm sure you can go back through even the videos that I posted on this channel here and see where I say, I believe, I believe, I believe. But it's so important to say the Bible says. The Bible says. I teach personally evangelism at Florida Bible College. And one of the very important things and one of the first things that we tell people is to take the responsibility for proving points off of yourself and put it onto God's word. It can stand against that criticism. Of course, God is perfect. He cannot lie. So if he says something in his word, then we have to know that he meant what he said. So as an example, all are sinners. Romans 3:23 says that. That's not my religion that says that. That's what God's word says. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. That's pretty clear. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you're soul winning to somebody and you give them that answer, you can be confident that this is not what my pastor says, or this is not the confession of faith made by men. This is what God's word says. And when we get into today's question, specifically today's answer, some people are going to be upset because they're not satisfied with what God's word says. And what we're going to be talking about today is the law. And the question that's being asked is the law necessary for the believer? If you study church history, I'm not saying church history is accurate. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people that quote the church fathers, and the church fathers are not always lining up with the scripture. You start to see councils in the church history when you study them. There are seven major ones, and you can go to Britannica. That's a great source to look up. Just type church councils, and you can see all the councils. And they're all acknowledged by the Orthodox Church, a.k.a. the Catholic Church, and they really started going off base. But most of these councils, they came together to resolve a doctrine, right? Someone was teaching Arianism, which was the fact that Jesus Christ was a spirit being and a man being, and they were loosely connected, but they were two separate beings. Okay, does the Bible really teach that? We should be able to see it. And so they come together and talk about that. They talk about sabellism and all sorts of stuff. But as they continue to go further and further away from the truth of the scripture, they started to get into things that were not clear Bible, but they were bad interpretations. But the very, very first council is the council in Acts chapter 15. And this council actually answers the question that we're asking today. Is it necessary for the believer to keep the law in order to be saved? So follow with me. Buckle up. I think this is going to be a big help. Let's start in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. Don't forget, if this is your first time here or if you've been here before, make sure to like, comment, and share this video today. Hit the subscribe button and the little notification bell. Make sure that when you hit the bell, you select all, because we have a ton of content that's coming to you now. We're posting twice a week. We've got live streams that are coming at you three times a week. We also have community posts where we ask you for your feedback. So make sure when you hit the subscribe button and the notification bell, you hit all so you don't miss any of that. I also want to remind you, too, we have a podcast. And on the podcast, we do a lot of what we're doing here on YouTube. But we also have a Bibleline audio exclusive episode that comes out once a week. And that's on Spotify, Apple, iHeart, really wherever you get your podcasts. So make sure you check that out. That's something we don't release on YouTube. It's only for audio listeners. So make sure you follow that. And there's a rating system on all those platforms, like Apple has one, Spotify has one, all that. Make sure to give us a 5-star rating. That helps give some credibility to the show for people who are maybe looking for that credibility. And don't forget to send in your questions at BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer and maybe even make a video like this one. Let's get back to the video. All right, so here we are in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, this is an important thing to note. These men which came down, they taught the brethren. And the brethren here is the body of Christ. Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says they're justified. They can't be justified by the law of Moses. They're already justified, but now they have a extra biblical teaching for eternal life added as a condition to their salvation. And some also took this as a condition for, well, I got to live, you know, in order to live correctly, I got to keep the law. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, this is very important to note. Paul and Barnabas had a very specific reaction, and it was intense. It was vehemently opposed to this doctrine. That's why it says, look back in your Bible there, no small dissension and disputation with them. Who is them? The men that came down from Judea. I also think this could include some of those believers, those brethren, who were starting to teach this doctrine because, well, these men are from Judea, they're Jews, and Jesus was a Jew, so yeah, maybe I have to do those things. They're confusing people. Paul and Barnabas did not take that lightly. Why? Because it adds works to the gospel. And this is important to recognize. That's the question we're asking today. Do you have to keep the law to be saved? And then, as a secondary, should I keep the law after I'm saved just to be extra sure? Just to be extra obedient? Let's see what the scripture says. They were so concerned about this that they had to go up to Jerusalem and they had a council. They got together to address this issue of doctrine. What saith the scripture? Verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Isn't that nice? On their way, as they're heading over to Jerusalem, remember, they're not grabbing an Uber. They're not getting on Spirit Airlines and flying over. And this takes time. They're leading souls to Christ. Verse 4. Now they're in Jerusalem. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. The body of Christ received them there, and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, if you're a good Bible student, you'll realize that verse 1 and verse 5 are similar, but there is now an addition added by God in verse 5. What's the addition? Can you see it? Well, you already see the similarity. Needful to circumcise them in verse 5. Verse 1 says, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Verse 5 elaborates on that and says, not only was it circumcision that was being preached as needful for true conversion, but you got to keep the law of Moses. Folks, that's what you call painting with a broad stroke. Let me tell you what all that is. The Sabbath, the dietary laws, all the restrictions that were asked by God to bring about blessings. That is now the expectation for the Gentile. You got to do all those things. And that's why we're doing this question and answer video, because so many people are like, what about the Sabbath? What about eating certain food? All sorts of stuff like that. Do we have to do that today? Does God discipline us for not doing those things? And that's the question that's being asked here. Let's look in verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And that is the entrance to this Council of Jerusalem. Verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, so there was conversation going back and forth, don't know if there were people representing one side or the other, but they're going through all these different things. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And that is true. What is Peter referring to here? Well, if you go to Acts chapter 10, and you can do that on your own time, but you see the conversion of Cornelius, a Gentile. And this amazed the Jewish people. The Jewish believers were like, whoa, this is for the Gentiles too? Absolutely. It's not the first time the Gentiles had heard the gospel. You go all the way through, you see Ruth grafted into that. I mean, that's a whole other discussion for another day. But he's saying, you see here that there were Gentiles who already got saved. Look at how he says it. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Nothing about circumcision. Nothing about keeping the law in order to be saved or to be blessed by God. Verse 8, and God which knoweth the heart. And that's not the boom, 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 boom. That's the mind that knoweth what a person believes. Bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Now, at that time, this was a sign that people were understanding the gospel. They received the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, that's what happened to Cornelius. It says, as they yet spoke, they had the Holy Spirit, which means they must have believed because they received the Holy Spirit. You and I received the Holy Spirit the moment upon belief. And Peter was, he's like, wow, this is amazing. And he says, we know that they understood that because the witness was given to them that they had the Holy Spirit and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Who does he mean by us? What is Peter? He's a Jew. He's not saying, well, I'm a Jew and I was circumcised and I kept the law all this time, but that didn't save me. I got saved by faith in Christ. The Gentiles the same way. So he's setting up a case here. Verse 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? Why would he say that it's a temptation? And what temptation is he talking about? By adding something to the gospel. Why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? What is that yoke? It's the law. Does that mean the law is bad? No, it means the law shows us that we can't measure up to God's standard. So it's inherently important for us to understand. The law has one purpose, to show us our need for a Savior. It exposes us that we are sinners. Verse 11, but we believed that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Who are they? The Gentiles. Who are we? The Jews. The Jews got saved by faith in Jesus Christ. The Gentiles get saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Jew and Gentile makes up the entire population of the world. Therefore, it is an adequate conclusion to come to say, salvation is attained by faith in Christ only. Now, this is where I'm going to offend some people. And if you listen to the beginning of the video, you know this is not an offense that I'm giving you. This is what the scripture teaches. If you are one of those individuals who puts a yoke of bondage on believers to keep the law, you are the description of verse 10. Here's what it says. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? That is very clear. How is that temptation accomplished? To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. If everybody is saved by faith in Jesus Christ, then why are we going to ask them after they've gotten saved by faith in Jesus Christ to do something which is of no net benefit to them? What is the purpose of a Gentile believer getting physically circumcised if it has nothing to do with how God blesses them in obedience? What's the purpose of keeping the Sabbath as the Seventh-day Adventists do on a Saturday specifically and saying everyone else who doesn't is cursed and damned to hell? They're in condemnation now. That's a yoke of bondage. That's not to say, oh, phooey with the Old Testament law. It has a purpose. It brings people to the need of a Savior. But it is not accurate to add the law as a requirement for obedience, period. That's not me. That's your King James Bible, folks. And we've got to understand that. And when I say I'm making this as a blanket video, I've probably gotten 30-something questions about this topic. So when he says in verse 12, he's wrapping up his argument here, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. These are our buddies from verse 2 who caused no small dissension when they heard about this, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them, by their word. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared. Why does he say Simeon? Probably a term of affection and endearment. This is Peter's Jewish name. And so, you know, James being the half-brother of Jesus, he's in the church of Jerusalem. He just uses his Jewish name. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take them out, to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. So now he's going to go and verify it with the Old Testament. And he does that in verse 16 and in verse 17. Verse 18, he says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is this, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. So those who have believed and are Gentiles, we're not going to burden them with performing the law. There is no benefit in it. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Why is that important? Because the Gentiles were struggling with that, with idol worship. Okay, so he's saying we should tell them to avoid these things, not for eternal life, but for net benefit as they continue to grow and follow the doctrines of Christ. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preached him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. This is something that everybody struggles with, not with the Jews. So then the question becomes, how then is God going to judge the believer? Because if they're not going to follow the Old Testament law, then what is the law in which they'll be judged? The liberty that they have in Christ. Fulfilling the law through love. That's how it happens, through the liberty that is within Christ. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Wait a second. Hold on a minute. If you love, you fulfill the law? Yeah. You think it's love to look at a baby believer and say, hey, keep the Sabbath. Hey, don't eat that kind of meat. Hey, don't do this. Hey, don't do that. That ain't love. That's legalism. Are you calling the law legalistic? No, I'm calling the application of certain believers upon others to perform something that has no net benefit. It's already been resolved in the Jerusalem Council. You want to love your brother. You want to come to their level and guide them through. For this, verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill them. You're not going to sleep with their spouse. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to desire the things they have as of your own. Learn to love. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, verse 10. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. And that knowing the time, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. How do you do that? You love. That sounds better than Seventh-day Adventism. I have to slow down when I say that. It's a little bit of a mouthful. That's better than putting unnecessary restrictions on believers. I know this video may offend some people, and so be it. That's why we have a comment section. That's why Trent's got a job, you know? He goes in there and does that, and I think that's great. But I want you to see what the scripture clearly says. I don't put a yoke of bondage on believers that come to our church. I don't sit them down and say, hey, now I know you've been coming to church on Sunday, but you've been a heathen ever since, brother. You got to start coming on Saturday. How silly. That didn't help anybody, except for people's personal ego. They resolved it there in the Jerusalem Council, so I think we should let the scripture stand for itself. And I pray this has been a blessing to you. If you do have a question about it, send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, or any Bible question, and we'll be more than happy to get you an answer. I say all this in love, of course, and those of you who have been here for a while, I think you understand that. Maybe if you're new here, you know, take me out of it and let the scripture speak for itself. All right, until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.